Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James, the Fat Man Hello. Stevens, and that squirmy little bastard, Ryan Preston.
How I get into small faces.
So I'll just say it because this actually made me laugh. In case you haven't heard it yet, yes, PBR just avoided extinction after making a new deal with a distributor, Miller Coors. Apparently I'm tired. It's even launching its own whiskey. Sit with that a moment. Consider that the hard stuff has been having a moment. So basically what I read, this whiskey is going to be aged for a few seconds. So apparently they're saying it's going to be like, I don't know if you would call it white lightning. It's going to be 80 proof white whiskey that's aged 5 seconds, which I've never heard.
So it's going to be the fucking PBR version of whiskey?
That's what I'm thinking.
I've never heard. Have you guys ever heard of the term white whiskey? It's not something I'm familiar with.
I just assume it's not aged in an oak barrel.
Or aged at all.
Well, 5 seconds really isn't aged at all.
But I've never heard the term. I mean, because a lot of the stuff like... what is it? Tequila. All the names actually apply something, but the white whiskey I've never heard of. Like silver tequila, this tequila.
Yeah, know. But I don't know. It sounds, as Ryan said, it sounds gross to me.
It's only 80 proof.
Yeah, but even still, it sounds gross.
Oh, I mean, 100%. But 80 proof is like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get you drunk.
Yeah, but if I wanted quality whiskey, the last thing I'm going to be buying is a whiskey that's not aged. I mean,
didn't hipsters bring back PBR already?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that was part of I personally think that was part of the revival of the brand. And I'd love to know why they brought it back. I mean, was it the history? Was it because it's been traditionally for at least the last so many decades, it's been a cheaper beer? I'm kind of wondering why. I mean, do you have any idea? I mean, I'm not a big beer drinker.
Of why PBR is cheap beer?
No, but like why? Well, that I can figure out for myself, but why did the hipsters like get attached to it? That's the part I was kind of curious.
Because it's one of those old school kind of names in it, and it made them feel like they were the only ones doing it and shit. I don't know. Why the fuck do hipsters bring back anything?
Oh, there was a, what was it? There was a, I heard this on the radio the other day. A hipster tried suing what was it, Harvard or one of these big name schools because they used his picture. It turns out all hipsters do look the same because it wasn't him. They did some sort of study proving it that all hipsters, you know, look alike, which I thought was hilarious.
So I think we're stepping all over Ryan's story.
Come on, Ryan.
What?
I expected a full report of.
Oh yeah, so I went to the Magic Castle.
You need to say that one more time, just in case somebody didn't hear that.
I went to the Magic Castle. Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. I just want to make sure.
The Magic Castle, for everybody, I'm sure is not aware, is a private clubhouse for magicians that do shows. Now, I was about to say civilians, like there's some kind of highfalutin group of people. Regular folk can go there if they're invited, but you basically have to know a current member to invite you. But when you're there, it's, I mean, basically just world-class, mostly close-up magicians, you know, putting on a bunch of shows. And it's this really, really bitchin' Victorian mansion in Hollywood. People can Google it if they're interested in what this big ass place looks like, but it's right on the top of the hill, right below the Hollywood sign. And the place has been there for, I don't know, fucking 100 years, you know, whatever it was. You know, any magician who's basically anybody has gone through there, you know, done performances, and, you know, it's mostly little intimate rooms, intimate tables. A lot of little gimmicks and things like that around. When you enter through a secret bookcase.
That's badass.
Yeah, you know, you got to speak the passwords of a little owl statue and, you know, shit like that. And you know, so a lot of it's kind of hokey, but it's still just like, oh, this is the history of you know, close-up magic and even stage magic to a certain extent.
So did they do any magic with you?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, mostly close-up stuff. So a lot of coin and card tricks, you know, things like that. But, you know, you're sitting right in front of the people, so it's a lot different experience when you're actually, you know, sitting there instead of watching, like, YouTube clips or seeing a big stage show or something like that. But you just get to kind of go in and kind of wander around, you know, which is really cool. And, you know, stare at the walls and look for all the little random secrets and shit. The one thing I thought was funny, there's inside the men's restroom, I walked in and I saw a payphone. I'm like, wow, that's weird. Must be pulled over from when they had payphones. But why the fuck is there one in the bathroom? On the way out, I was noticing there was a box next to it. Like, it kind of looked like one of those dispensers you'd see in some shithole bar that dispenses like condoms or, you know, single use cologne, that kind of shit. Or tampons if you go into the ladies' restroom, same box. But it was this old metal box, and it was kind of worn down, like the little etchings of what it was worn down. But they had this sign next to it that basically explained what it was. There's four buttons on this box, and it's sitting right next to this payphone. And the buttons are labeled party, airport, office, and mechanic.
Huh.
So the idea being that you drop a quarter into this thing, pick up the payphone, hit the button for the mechanic, call your wife and say, oh, goddamn, honey, I just blew a tire on the way home. I'm going to be stuck here at the mechanic for probably about an hour. I'll see you when I get there.
That's like awesome.
And it's playing the mechanic sounds behind you or the airport or the office, et cetera.
That's awesome.
Are you allowed to take...
I can't imagine how many people have done it in earnest, but it's still a cool fucking gimmick, you know?
Are you allowed to take pictures or is it no pictures?
No, fuck no, you're not allowed to take pictures. You can take them in the front lobby before you enter, but if the door's open, you can't even take pictures.
So I found a little bit of...
Yeah, they call it a castle. They got it kind of geared up like a castle, but it's really just a Victorian mansion.
Yeah.
So I found something I think it was interesting. although membership to the club costs $750 per year, plus so it's a $1,500 initiation fee plus $750 a year to be a member, and that's if you're able to get on the waiting list.
It's crazy. Right.
So the question is how long the waiting list is. That's amazing. I mean, like the cost.
Yeah,
of that.
And there's a lot of benefits for the members that are actually magicians.
Oh, I
but
guarantee.
You can join the club as just like an associate. You know, just a fan of magic, want to go there and hang out, basically. You know.
So there's if you type in Magic Castle on Google, and I'm a
comes up with their website.
Well, there's a lot of pictures of it. My assumption is this is the actual Magic Castle.
Yeah, the Magic Castle website actually does like a walkthrough tour, like a video walkthrough tour. It's like 5 minutes long. People are kind of interested in what it looks like at all. But I don't know. I've always been a fan of magic, especially close up shit. I hate fucking big stage.
Oh, me too.
Because you can always, it's just all like, dude, you can tell there's a big false bottom to something or, hey, there's a lot of space underneath that table there, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of David Copperfield's magic. I mean, he did a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, really
but...
easy to pick out those things, but close-up fucking sleight-of-hand magic still blows my goddamn mind.
Yeah, David Blaine is amazing on that.
Yeah, no shit. And, I mean, he's kind of worked himself into the area of stunts instead of magic tricks.
His early shit was amazing.
Penn Jillette said that going into a box and not eating for whatever 30 days and getting thinner is not a magic trick. If he goes into the box and somehow gets fatter, that's a fucking magic trick.
I agree.
Yeah, I haven't considered David Blaine a magician in years. I mean, he probably can do all of it, but the, you know, like you guys said,
old
school
stuff where he's doing sleight of hand right up close on top of people, just amazing to watch. But when he started doing when he started doing the ice box, like freezing his ass off, and as Ryan said, the one where he's like not eating and shit, that stuff, like, I have no interest in that. What? Yes, it's a plane.
Is that here?
It's up. Yeah.
Whoa.
Anyways. It'll go.
But yeah, I really am not a big fan of like Chris Angel
Did you go by yourself, or did you go with your significant other?
No. So I made a funeral arrangements for a guy whose friend was a member. The guy himself was a magician as well. I won't say his name, but his friend was making the arrangements and funeral director for those of you who don't know. Fun fucking job, but so making arrangements with this dude, and you know, get to the part where I'm asking him, you know, info that goes on like a death certificate and shit. Oh, what kind of work does he do? And oh, he's a magician. I'm like, oh no shit, I fucking love magic. That's awesome. I say all this without a lot less cussing and about an octave higher. So
I love magic.
Oh no kidding. Yeah, a lot of
that. Certainly.
Yeah. You know, we're talking and whatnot, and then we get done with the things, and at the end he was like, oh, you know, if you ever want to... And he was real stoic the whole time. Like, you know, and obviously he's fucking making funeral arrangements. He was pretty somber. But at the end he was all, if you want, you know, I can go to the... I can get you into the Magic Castle. And I was like, oh, man, don't play with my emotions. That's not cool. Because, I mean, it's something I've heard about for fucking ever, and I've always known that you need to know somebody to get in there.
Yeah.
And it's not even like, oh, this is where you're going to see the best magic in the world. I mean, you very good chance you could. But just, I like the exclusive sort of behind-the-scenes nature of it all.
It's you know. I guess the best way to describe the Magic Castle for some people, it's like being a member of Disney's Club 33, but
yeah,
more.
Yeah, you know, it's just... You know, you dress up. There's a strict dress code. You know, it's you know, shirts, ties, and coats, and the ladies are all wearing evening dresses and things. And so, you know, it's kind of a cool excuse to get all dolled up and roll out and, you know, see a, like a private show. And then there's
Ryan's
a dinner.
Wearing a strapless number.
No garter belt.
So,
but, daring journal.
So how long were you there for? Rod.
The doors open at 5 and the main show is supposed to be at 10. I really fucking wanted to get there at 5, but a couple of us couldn't get off of work in time. So we ended up out there about 6:30. The dinner was at 8. So from about 6:30 to 8, we kind of just wandered, caught a couple of shows. The guys in the basements were a little more kind of improv, a little more like you know, not the most polished stage show or things like that that people might be used to.
Now, were there any
good tricks, nonetheless?
Were there any sections of it that were like, yo, you have to be a member to be in here, or was it completely open to you as a guest?
You know, I really didn't. If I had more time to kind of wander, I was trying to hit stuff just to get like the full experience as quick as possible. You know, because after dinner was going to be the main show, and I didn't know how late they were going to be open and all these things. So I'm trying to crank through all this stuff, and as I'm leaving, I'm basically thinking I just want to go back and, you know, kind of have some conversations with some people. And what I realized was the amount of people that are famous magicians that have like that great patter and the polished sort of stage show, and the audience and everybody is getting this amazing show. Those people are so fucking few and far between.
Yeah.
Regular magicians are basically carnies.
So,
you know, they're a strange, strange fucking lot of people.
But there
are people who have dedicated way longer than you would think it's necessary or worth it to do some simple card draw.
See, that I'm not.
So I kind of respect it. You know.
Well, that I'm not surprised by. The only reason I say that is the guy who's done a lot of camera work is it's like if you look at Guy Fieri when he does his dine-in drivers and dines or whatever the fuck it's called. Like, coming across like he does, even if you don't like it, is really hard to do on camera because most people aren't naturally that animated. So I can imagine how much polish and time it takes to do it like Penn and Teller. If you look at them, even if you don't like it, they come across amazing on camera. I couldn't imagine how badass they are in person when you actually get to see them do their shtick.
Freaks, and they own the being a freak part. But think about the person who locked himself in his room from 12 years old to like 22 years old, learning 100 card tricks. That's going to be a socially awkward fucking person. You know, so a lot of dudes spend a lot of time working on the card trick and not so much the act. So,
yeah.
You know, you catch a few of those guys and you're like, oh, you're definitely a strange individual.
I would say those people would be doing that even if there wasn't the magic involved. It just happens to be their particular predilection towards not being super social. Like it's the awkward guy who, or, you know, it'd be like the guy who's really into D&D and video games. And one guy just happens to be not particularly social, but loves magic. I think it's more towards that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that's the thing is that I kind of just like the art form. So I want to talk to those people. You know what I mean? I want to meet them and be like how the hell did you get into this? You know, show me some shit. Like, that's cool. But yeah, they're, yeah, I mean, if they did have that sort of commanding performance going on, they'd probably be doing, you know, a lot of YouTube stuff. And the big stage show they do at the end is definitely more performance driven. But I want to just find that guy who literally doesn't talk to anybody, because those are the guys who have this skill that just is insane, you know?
I wonder how hard it is to do magic. I mean, besides the trick. Because I always thought, and I could be wrong, that like 90% of the performance is not the magic. It's everything leading up to it. You know, because here's my thought.
It's a show.
Yeah, like the trick, you know the trick by heart because you've done it so much. So that just becomes something that's automatic. But it's the interaction between that with the crowd, the sleight of hand. So I wonder how hard that actually is.
There is a movie that talks about this. It's called The Prestige.
The show aspect. Yeah,
the only issue is, like, you know, I want like a real, I'd love to hear Penn and Teller.
Oh, yeah.
Or like people who are practicing real world magicians, not some writer's interpretation of it. That would be interesting. Like is Penn Jillette really, like Johnny Carson, for example, wasn't a particularly people person. They say he was really shy, but once he got on camera, they say, you know, he was the Johnny Carson you knew on television. So I would love to know, like, what particular personality type like that, you know what I mean?
I listen to Penn Jillette's podcast every week.
I didn't know he still did it.
Fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a hilarious, hilarious, hilarious dude. He's done so many cameos and shit. He's just he's like fucking Forrest Gump. You know, he's got so many stories of being around so many famous events or people or these things. I mean, you know, he was amazing, great friends with Lou Reed from the fucking Velvet Underground, you know, and he's been at the fringes of all of these different things and movements and all this stuff over the years. Just listening to him tell stories. He's one of those dudes that if you're in a room with him, I would just be like keep talking.
So
I don't think you would have a problem.
So according to this, for those who don't want to Google, so it looks like Penn's podcast is called Penn's Sunday School, and it's on Podcast One.
Right, yeah.
I got to say, Penn Jillette just seems, he seems like a very eccentric, eclectic type of person, but I have a feeling that's the type of person who gets towards... And not even just magic, like anybody who's just, excuse me, just a big geek about something in general. Whether you're talking about like, for example, hardcore car mechanics, people who are super into cars, they have that thing about them that it's a little awkward, but you can see the passion. I have a feeling like magicians are the same way, but I have a feeling it's a little bit more so.
That's the thing is I respect it because I've never cared about anything in my life that much. You know, so seeing somebody who's just like, no, look, I care about this one underhanded deal so much that I'm going to dedicate 2 years of my life to perfecting it.
I think it's
Jiro Dreams of Sushi. It's this guy who just liked making sushi so much. He did it for 80 years and now he's the best in the world.
Except for he's dead now because he started, you know, older. Than 80 years, right? And that's a long ass freaking time for anybody to be alive.
I think for me, the only thing that I remotely have done like that to that much passion is probably, and it's not even remotely close, but just my love for like animation. in anime. Like, for example, I'll talk to people and say, oh, yeah, if you take a look at, like, The Last Unicorn, it's a very 70s style, even though it was made in the 80s. And I just, our start, well, the animation style is very unique in a lot of ways. Even in for the 80s, that's a very unique style. And so if you start rattling off what's unique about it, most people, you know, look like a monkey doing a math problem. They're just kind of confused. So I can see that. Or, I don't know, you can pick a cartoon. I'm just a giant fan of animation in general. And I can break things down just by the amount I've seen.
Well, I'm a huge fan of art, of pretty much any art you can think of.
Wait, hold on. Just classify art to you. Now you talk about art or art form, like wrestling is technically an art. Are you talking about painting?
That's
you talk
what I'm
about-
saying. Yeah. Look, I can respect just about any art. The amount of shit that I've seen, and I'll even throw like sporting things into this too. My grandfather used to watch like ESPN2 all the time. Which every now and again they do kind of like that wide world of sports sort of thing where they throw on just some random ass shit. I got so into fucking competitive cup stacking. Me and my grandfather sitting there, edge of our fucking seats, dude. Like this little fucking 9-year-old is about to break the world record, and we're gonna do a goddamn backflip.
By the way, that's badass.
I was into that shit.
That's really cool.
Yeah, well, one, it hits my love of tournament. I'm a huge fan of tournament in any form. I love anybody who just does this one thing to such an extent that it's like superhuman, you know?
Yeah.
See, that's amazing.
But yeah, any art, I mean, I can respect whether or not I dig, you know, get into, you know, the rabbit hole of finding out exactly what it's all about. Different, but, you know.
you know what's funny is you talk about, have you guys heard of the term kayfabe?
Okay, what?
Kayfabe.
I've heard of it, but I don't know what the hell it is.
Kayfabe is a carny talk. It's a wrestling. It's really it's about wrestling. And so what it means is kayfabe means you're keeping it on the down low. So back in the 70s, 80s, and earlier, everybody kind of had a feeling that wrestling something was up with wrestling, but nobody knew enough because everybody kept kayfabe. Nobody talked about the fact that it wasn't fake, but everything was predetermined. And so I'm the one thing I have to say with magic that I totally respect is nobody breaks the illusion. Nobody breaks kayfabe. Like if you look at like Penn and Teller, who've made a career out of spoiling tricks, if you watch what they do, they're not technically spoiling the trick.
No,
they're using an older trick that's everybody knows in the process of doing another trick.
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing I really respect about it is nobody's breaking the art form because everybody loves the art versus wrestling. Everybody knows.
They are not allowed in the there's like a British fucking elite magic club that they're not allowed in because they keep giving away tricks.
Well, here's the Brits thing to hold the grudge.
A lot of the times for me, when I found out how a trick was done, it made me love it even more.
Yeah.
You know, one, because it might be the simplest fucking thing in the world, and it's just your brain's ability to fool you by creating another narrative. Or it's some amazing, you know, sleight of hand trick where I'm like, dude, that must take an incredible amount of skill to pull off, you know?
Well, here's the only close thing I can really talk about this is wrestling. Is you know what an Irish whip is in wrestling? Or like a moonsault?
Yeah, I think so. I probably know the move. I used to watch a lot of wrestling back in the day.
So a moonsault is like a backflip. Now imagine everybody does a backflip, no matter what. It's always in a match. You always see it. Eventually, you get tired of it. And so could you still enjoy a magic trick if it was like that, you know, proverbial moonsault in wrestling. If it was something everybody did, everybody knew how to do it. It wasn't a secret.
Sorry about that. Some random ass delivery.
That's random.
I'm just like, was that a knock at my door? My bad. Starting the fucking podcast fourth wall here.
Nah, it's okay. So could you...
Nobody cares.
Could you still do that? Could you be okay with a trick that you know all the ins and out of? Would you still be amazed if it was, you know, like that proverbial moonsault?
Yeah, because, well, wrestling, yes, the matches are predetermined and all that, but there's no fucking way you can't call those people athletes or amazing showmen and et cetera, whether or not you're into wrestling or into the stories or what have you.
I mean,
you can't deny its ability.
The only
but
thing
that's what it is with card tricks is I start looking at the ability like, oh fuck, that was clean. You know what I mean? Like, I know that there's that particular palming technique when you're making a coin disappear, and like, dude, and that was the angle was so good, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
See, that's why I compared it to wrestling, because it's still a skill. For I think for magic, and this is a guess, I think it's more about dexterity and ability, right, to sleight of hand ability than like wrestling, which is, you know, physical ability.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so, but I mean, what they're doing, the ballet that's sort of going on is remarkable if you know how it works, you know?
I kind of like that comparison, though. I mean, the ballet, that it's a dance. I like that. I actually think that's a really good comparison. I mean, it's apples to oranges, but I like that, comparing the presentation of magic to that.
But it's also jazz. You know what I mean? Like wrestling. I mean, it's this improv where you know the, you know, yeah, we're playing Kind of Blue. But we're gonna do my version of Kind of Blue here. Now, we all know the usual chord changes and the modulations and those things, but we're gonna get the fuck down. You know, so you can, you know, have this shorthand with your opponents, and some more than others, and some actually don't like each other, and so shit goes off the rails. But what happens when everyone's a juice? But there's still this like band playing together aspect to it that's really cool, you know?
Totally. I'd say I like magic. I'm not a giant fan of it, mainly because of some of the aforementioned people like Chris Angel and the other guy. It's like,
right,
Blaine.
To me, I have a hard time calling that magic, because half the time you can see what the fuck's happening to Chris Angel, because the cameraman's in the wrong spot and, you know, the smoke clears enough where you get to see the track, or the, you know, it just, or like, if you take a look, David Copperfield, I love his, not his big shit, because that always, as a kid, it was cool. As an adult, it's like, okay, it's with mirrors and I get it. But as slight as
a dub act, it's the fucking tits.
you what?
His dub act just produces like 25 fucking dubs out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking amazing.
But there's a story of David Copperfield getting robbed, and it's like, so the guy sticks him up, and I think he was with two women, if I remember the story right. They both get their stuff stolen, but he's like, wallet? What wallet? I mean, the sleight of hand it takes, even in such an emergency. I that's amazing to me, the fact that he can just do something automatically and he palms his wallet.
Yeah,
he'd be a great thief.
Yeah, well, what I kind of alluded to before is almost really my main reason for getting into magic, because most people aren't into fucking magic. 10-year-olds are into magic. But I've seen, everyone can see a trick. Some magician will come up to them and do something that just blows somebody's mind. I was that person who couldn't let it go. I was like, no, how the fuck did that happen? And when I found out that a lot of the techniques is sleight of hand mixing with what your expectations are,
yeah,
you know, your brain just wanting to fool you.
So
just from a psychological standpoint, I was fucking fascinated with that.
Do you think magic is even still popular at all? Because I remember in the 80s when I was a little kid, and even the 90s, it would be on TV and you'd still hear people.
You know what? There's a show that Penn and Teller do called Penn and Teller Fool Us. It comes on the CW.
It's really good.
During like their sixth season, it's like their most fucking popular show on the goddamn WB network.
Well, since the Arrow's getting canceled.
That's the thing, is, I mean, something like this, it's literally a bunch of magicians go on in front of Penn and Teller and a big studio audience, and they try to fool them with a trick.
Yeah.
Penn is has no, makes no bones about just saying he's a juggler, you know what I mean, and and a performer, but Teller is like a encyclopedia of fucking magic.
Yeah, he's a hard ass too.
So between the two of them, they sit there and kind of judge the act and they allude to certain things. They're not trying to give their trick away, but they'll kind of drop a couple of hints like, hey, there was this guy back in the day, and I think you might have known him, and they'll give some name of some magician who invented that trick, you know?
So I've seen
it. So if one were so inclined, they can actually go and look up those things, you know, or if not, just be amazed by the trick, you know?
So I've seen a couple of clips, and my favorite clip, this guy had some sort of, like, whiteboard that was some sort of special whiteboard, and Pendulette, it was probably the coldest thing I've ever seen, and Pendulette said, "You don't want me to touch that, do you?" And the guy's like, no. It's like, I thought that's what was happening.
Yeah.
Totally ruined the guy's trick just by stating something.
He does that all the time, though.
Yeah. So I like Penn and Teller.
He literally will call them out on things like that. Like, I've seen him do it to a few card people, and he's like, "Do I need to touch that deck?" And I've heard people be like, "There's nothing wrong with the deck. There's nothing wrong with the deck." And he'll just like take the deck and he'll point out marked cards or just a bunch of different shit.
Why would you do that to him?
"Hey, would you mind if I held that deck?" And they'll be like, "What deck? I don't know what you're talking about." And they'll obviously just know, like, "No, you got it. You know what's going on here."
Like, yeah. Why? That's,
but the people who go on that show are aware that that's the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and some people go on. Actually, some people who've gotten very famous from that show go on there knowing that they're not going to fool them, but they want to sort of portray, they want to get their act on TV.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that element also.
I do want to know who's the jabroni that goes up and expects that Penn doesn't have an idea what's up. I think that's funny because Penn, he's been a professional magician for at least 30 years.
Yeah.
So he knows everything's a work one way or another. So I just think it amusing that some guy's like, "Oh, no, this isn't a marked deck." And Penn's like, "Really, dude?" You know, I just find that amusing.
Yeah, no, there's some people who get a little cocky,
oh, yeah,
you know, when they go on there thinking they're gonna fool them, and they're a little disappointed. But, you know,
look up.
They're really, like, a couple of the best magicians working.
That's the only reason why I ever want to go to Vegas again, just to see their act, because it was even like Siegfried and Roy. It was a show that I always wanted to see just because it was kind of neat. But
you were just rooting for the tiger.
It's the reason I like bull riding. I'm always yelling for the bull. Which, by the way, they don't like it when you go for the bull and when you're in an event and go, daddy's killer, get up. You know, they don't really like it when you want to gore.
You know, there was a fucking show. I can't even remember what network it was on. It's probably History Channel. And I really wish they would bring it back. James probably watched it. Remember when they had jousting?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like, straight up real ass fucking jousting with these assholes on horses in armor, and fucking lances.
Yeah, that was a great show.
They rode each other hard.
Oh, dude!
I think they stopped it because too many people got fucking injured.
I thought
they probably did.
Was it Full Metal Jousting?
Yep.
Because
that was the one.
That's funny because that's actually how I think Henry VIII ended up, getting really dying, injured.
Yeah.
Was that?
Yeah, that shit was brutal.
Is it there's something, what was it? There's something I heard of recently, and I don't know how much is true. There's some sort of medieval competition show back on, and if I remember correctly, it was supposed to be an ex-professional wrestler.
I don't know. Yeah, I know they were talking about doing that.
They're bringing back all kinds of stuff. This is really nutty age for TV, man.
So
I used to be able to keep up with television.
Dude, even in full armor, I mean, a morning star, a flail, or great, you know, a two-handed sword is really going to hurt.
So talk
about... Yeah, well, they've actually done medieval combat, like 20-on-20.
Yeah.
Straight up, blunted swords and big-ass suits of armor, and they just put two sides against each other and let them go ham. I mean, these dudes get in the middle and just start shield bashing and just, I mean, it's a really nutty thing to watch, and it's usually like country versus country.
Okay, so here's what crazy. Here's what I was looking for. It's called Knight Fight, KNIGHT.
Huh.
Welcome to the toughest. Sorry, let me get the microphone close to me. Welcome to the toughest, most violent armored combat competition around. Knight Fight steps back in time to world of full contact armored combat league called Knight Fight Club. Oh, God. And it's starting Christian J. Rezzo. He was part of the WWE for a long time. I did want to mention something because I think this is funny. It's a tad bit political, but do you hear how Aunt Becky from Full House might be going to jail for a while for bribing her daughter's way into, was it USC? And the article.
Oh, yeah, I've been scrolling past videos all last couple of days about all this. What's going on here?
So from what I guess it was, and I've only kind of gone the cursory thing, because the part that I was amazed is she said, the article I read said she dropped $500,000 to get her daughter in USC. And my first thought was, I wouldn't have thought a TV show from the early 90s would have ended up getting her that much of a paycheck.
She must have invested.
Well, it probably wasn't. There's some investments going on, yeah.
And she's probably been on a newer stuff, I hope. But I guess this has been something that's been happening for a while, from what I read and from what I heard. They also do stuff for sports scholarships. So, like, some rich guy would want his son into some sort of school and say, like Harvard, for example, and say, yeah, my son's a competitive pole vaulter. And they'd get him in there, and he would never pole vault nothing, but he would get in because of the so-called, you know, he was a high-level athlete. Another one was where parents would tell the school, yeah, my son has, what was it? He has some mental issues, you know, whether he's slow or whatnot. And so he gets in because there are certain number of slots per ever these high level Ivy League colleges for people who are slow or handicapped, I guess would be the best way to say it. So they end up taking like a dumbed down test, or somebody bribes one of the SAT guys. So one lady actually got guns drawn on her and ended up being taken into custody. And Lori Loughlin, who's Aunt Becky from Full House, surrendered to the FBI.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And so this was something I always...
That is crazy. It's a fucking payola scheme all over again.
I know.
So I always thought this was kind of the case, because you see all these celebrities' kids, and I'm not knocking the celebrities, but how does every celebrity kid go to Harvard and go to Yale and go to this when, like, even like
we're pretty much aware of it now.
Well, yeah, because my thought is even the 1% of the 1% of intelligent people don't necessarily get into these top Ivy League schools. How does some schmuck actor from One Life to Live, for example, get, no, was it Today Show? Yeah, it was like, I guess somebody in the Today Show got caught up in this scandal.
Huh. And yeah, I've heard nothing about it.
My favorite story about this, excuse me, is there's a local radio show in Sacramento. It's actually fairly broad across California. But he was trying to get his daughter into Georgetown University. You know, it's a prestigious Ivy League school. Couldn't get his daughter in. Talked to this one lady, and she's like, yeah, so I managed to get my son in, blah, 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 blah. Turns out she's one of the ladies who got caught paying into getting her son into the school. And I just read that Lori Loughlin's daughter actually dropped out of USC because of this.
Oh, wow.
So here's my thought. I have a feeling that these people are either going to be kicked out, or the amount of money they're going to be paying to stay there is going to go through the roof. Because I bet when it was hush hush and some people knew, they wouldn't have said anything. But now that everybody knows, it's going to kill their reputation.
I don't know. I just think it's...
Yeah, they're definitely not going to stay at the school. I don't... How long ago was this? Is this like a current thing, or are they like out of school already? Do they have degrees?
Well, I heard something. I haven't looked into it. Somebody said, you know, it's been happening for about 24 years. So it sounds like something that's been happening for a while, and nobody just caught it. Or either everybody knew about it, but only few people did it, or it's one of these things that all of a sudden just became so popular that, you know, the school or somebody had to narc on it.
I don't know.
I'm thinking it was
that's weird.
I'm thinking it was like the Fight Club, you know? If you knew about it, you never mentioned it to anybody.
Yeah, it seems like something you'd probably want to keep to yourself. In other news, fucking Bob Saget, speaking of Full House, I think is doing a another America's Funniest Home Video style show, but he's reviewing, like, dirty, like, shit.
Really?
What? What do you mean dirty shit, like porn or something?
Not like porn, but like fucked up YouTube videos or whatever. It was something I just scrolled across called Videos After Dark. And I think it was on fucking ABC.
Hold on, here it is.
And it appears to me that it is a America's Funniest Home Video style thing.
Okay, so here it is.
Bob Saget.
There's some must-see TV on ABC tonight. And no, we're not talking about some final of The Bachelor. Bob Saget, host of America's Funniest Home Videos from 89 to 97. Wow, I didn't realize he did it for that long. Is making his return to the world of fiasco-filled video footage with Videos After Dark. Making its debut 3 decades after AFH first aired, Video After Dark will serve up weird and wildest videos and the smartphone cameras can capture. So when you first said that, my first thought, it's going to be porn, like, ooh, she's going to be hating that tomorrow type of stuff. But this just, I'm kind of curious in what this is actually is. By the way,
it means like it's Tosh.0 mixed with America's Funniest Home Videos.
That's what I was thinking. I love this article. This is a Men's Health article. That's hilarious. Saget, best known for playing Danny Tanner in Full House. I love the fact that they finally admit that he's an incredibly dirty person. He's the dirtiest comedian ever.
There's no denying it.
That's a freaking understatement. If you guys have ever watched his comedy special, oh my God.
I think the pendulum just swung a little too far back. You know what I mean?
No.
Like he was definitely being dirty for the sake of being dirty. He's still a funny guy. You know, his stand-ups are pretty good, but a lot more of just kind of going for the shock value and not like crazy stuff. But just like okay, you're cussing just for the sake of cussing a lot because it's a novelty.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean,
although he just put out a new one that I haven't seen, so I don't know if he's done more substance and jokes.
I mean, I always blamed America's Funniest Home Videos for Jackass, so I could totally see that. Because nobody,
I think you're right.
That might have been kind of concurrent.
I mean, if you look at Jackass, especially, you know, always getting hit in the balls. For a while there in America's Funniest Home Videos, that was almost every episode. There was somebody getting hit in the nuts, and everybody was laughing. And as a kid, I'm thinking, no, there's nothing funny about that.
But football in the grain has a football in the grain.
There's nothing funny about that. It's like, let me hit you in the boob. That'll make you cry. Because it sure made that dude.
I don't think that's a one-to-one comparison.
From the women I've talked to, they say it's pretty fair. I mean, I wouldn't know, but that's what I've been told.
Yeah, I don't think they know what the fuck they're talking about.
Is this like giving birth, Ryan?
I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about as far as getting hit in the tit, but I doubt that they're feeling what I'm feeling.
And then there chimes some lady, well, you haven't given birth. Which, by the way, I've seen that.
I mean, I wouldn't be there all day, obviously, but I'm just saying we're not comparing getting kicked in the nuts to birthing a child.
I'd rather get kicked in the nuts.
I'd rather get punched in the tit.
Apples and oranges here. I mean, it's the same. we're basically talking about the same thing because I've seen the amount of pain giving birth in. My favorite thing is if you ever have an opportunity to go to a birthing class, it's hilarious because there's this lady talk about the pain and she'll say, well, just breathe. And like, okay. And then she says, sometimes if you do it natural, it can take, some people are doing it for 8 hours. I'm like, without painkillers? Fuck, I don't even like going to the dentist without getting numb. Never mind being in pain for that long.
Yeah, well, next time I'm around in town, I'll start trolling fucking birthing classes.
I think you should just go in and just start sitting behind women.
Just sit down.
Breathe.
Is your wife coming? No.
Actually, the one that kind of blew my mind is this lady stood up and said, well, is anyone going to take the placenta home? Because apparently they freeze it and some people eat it. That kind of grossed me out.
Yeah, that's not a new thing. They've been doing that for a while.
I heard that and I'm like, oof. Isn't that cannibalism?
I never thought about it like that. I'm pretty sure it is.
That's kind of a that's kind of a gray area there. That's an interesting one.
I don't think that's a gray area. I think that.
Well, I don't think it is. I mean, because it might just be like eating your own snot, not cannibalism. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, there's not really tissue and membranes and blood involved. Well, I mean, you might be picking it too much, but, you know, that might...
Welcome to the gross section of the show.
I might be missing...
You're the one that took us here, Mr. Placenta.
Health class.
Oh, my God. I've totally forgot. Did I ever tell you guys I actually had some chick text me, like, all pissed off... Because she thought that I was a person by the name of Don, not the one we know of, but threw her placenta away.
No, I haven't.
And she was pissed off at me.
Wait, what?
Oh, I'm not making this up. So I was at home, and all of a sudden my phone goes off, and it's like, this chick, like, you're an asshole. And I'm like, okay. And I'm not, like, arguing with it. And then she comes back that you threw my placenta away. And I'm like, wait, you have the wrong person.
Because my first thought is I've been around when quite a number of women have called James an asshole. So it's definitely not something that's new.
Hold on. I want to see if I still have this.
I've been on the receiving end of some bizarre, you know, oh, sorry, I got the wrong number.
Okay, hold on. I still have the text. So I'm going to read the text, the whole conversation.
I wish I had like a drum roll sound effect.
Don, you threw away my placenta, ? How could you? It's not like I can just go and get another one. I can't believe you. I had plans for my placenta, you fucking jerk. At my response, are you hungry? Her response, yes. Wait a minute, this isn't Dawn. Who the fuck did I just text? Who is this? So you should take 9 months to get a new one. You can always just drop the kid off. There are no question donation centers. And at my response to her question, who is this? I said, some random ass person. It's cool. I'm sure Dawn will find out he's in trouble soon enough. Her response, but I'm still hungry. ... Sorry, never had placenta, but heard it's decent with onions. Her response, oh, I'm so sorry. I will delete your number. My bad. My response was no worries. This actually happened. I'm not making this shit up.
I love the fact that that was just one step too far. That's even funnier than the guy who thought I was a chick, and it took me 30 minutes to tell him. No, because this guy texted me, and he's like, hey, baby, want to hang out? I said, sorry, man, you've got the wrong number. It's like, stop fronting. Let's hang out, girl. It's like, I'm a 6'5", 250-pound white guy. Trust me. It's like, oh, stop lying. It's like, why? You know, finally said, dude, I'm a guy. You want to meet me? Let's go meet. It's like, no, it's all good, man. I'm sorry. It's like, shit.
Oh, no, I've had placenta conversations with some random ass person.
That beats any sort of random text I've ever gotten.
I know. I'm pretty sure she was sober too, so it's not even can't be counted as a drunk text.
I
yeah, this isn't Don, but I'm really sorry about your placenta.
That's pretty much my whole response. And then I gave her some cooking tips. Yeah, I didn't tell her exactly how to cook the placenta, but
you know what the part is I really want to know is you should text her back. So this is the guy you talked to a while ago. What happened with Don? It's like, now I want the back. I'm
so real curious how that placenta thing worked out.
Yeah. So
I just didn't want to embarrass her further because that's pretty fucking. I never told you guys this.
No.
Oh, wow.
Because part of my thought was, you know, did she eat them with like fava beans? I mean,
I very well could have.
Because I really want to know the rest of the story.
I can't believe I didn't tell you guys this.
Yeah, I feel like you need to follow up.
So put this in the no shit department. Rather inciting people to anger or violence, research has found that loud and chaotic music, such as metal and punk, is a healthy way of processing anger. So, to all the people when I was younger who told me that I should turn off metal music because it makes you angry, fuck you.
Yeah, if you'd have listened to Perry Como, you'd have killed somebody by now.
Like when I told people I used to lock myself in a room and listen to Pantera and all these, I wasn't joking. I was kind of jealous of some of these guys in the Middle East who they were torturing by listening to Pantera. It's like, cool, I like that album. That sounds fun. I don't sleep as it is. And I'm deafer than shit, so it's not like I would hear it half the time anyways.
You know, I think we've said this before on this show a few times, but I think the violent video games really... You know, keeps the sociopaths at bay.
I just saw another headline, and I didn't read it because I've heard that I've seen it before. A new one, another research found out that violent video games don't incite people to riot, stuff like that. I kind of wish it, you know, it's kind of like the same argument with it is, but it isn't. This is a stretch about how, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people, and
yeah, you know, but I mean. Taking a video game and just starting to do random shit to NPCs really, I'm sure, helps a lot of sociopaths.
Like you, for example. I've seen you do some incredible.
I am the nicest person in a video game. If they did what I told them to do, they wouldn't have issues.
Yeah, but it's what's what you
Bethesda
do.
Bethesda has done a great service to, you know, the FBI serial killer chasing bureau. I mean, seriously, they have saved the lives of countless people by having NPCs that you can just torture to hell.
And
I argue with me here. You know it does.
I always knew you were a sociopath, but now I didn't realize I had evidence of it.
There's no videotapes of me doing stuff.
Talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I about this old video game. I want to say it was like OG Xbox, and I can't remember the fucking name of it. But if I remember correctly, like you've just gotten out of prison, or you're in a prison, and there's like a bunch of psychopaths that escape and they're all trying to kill you and you basically start taking out all the bad guys, etc. But with like the most brutal, like baseball bat to the dome kind of shit that I've ever seen. Damn it, I can't remember the name of this game. It was one of the most twisted games I've ever played in my life.
Huh.
PC or console?
No, it's OG.
It was console. I'm pretty sure it was first Xbox. But this thing was absolutely insanely brutal. I mean, you're like sawing people's heads off with garrote wire and shit.
Oh, jeez.
It was really, really ridiculous.
It wasn't one of the Hitman games, was it?
No, I don't think so.
It's gonna fucking bug me until I think of it.
Well, let me know. Now I'm curious on what the game was.
Me too. I might want to play it.
Go look up some.
Because that reminds me
some gameplay.
That reminds me, there used to be a game I have in my archive. I think it's called Kingpin: Life of Crime or something like that. And this game, excuse me, this game had what was called pain skins, and it was one of the few games I remember that you could actually shoot a character in a different spot and it would react differently. Back in the day, if you shot a character in the foot, he would die.
Yeah.
If you shot in this game, if you shot on the foot, he would limp. If you shot him in the hand, it would do something else and different. In this game, if you walked up with some sort of tool, I don't remember what you hit the people with, but you walk up and hit them, and every time you hit him, it come up with a different pattern when you beat the dude to death.
Huh.
And I remember just being, it was a really stupid game, but incredibly violent.
Huh.
It was fun.
This guy's so fun and pretty interesting. I mean, the expansion pack for the N64 or whatever that was, it added a lot of stuff to video games as well. Remember Perfect Dark, like if you didn't have the expansion pack and you shot somebody in the head, there wasn't a blood spot. But if you did, there was a blood spot. And it'd stay and stick around and shit like that.
Manhunt.
Oh, shit. I know what game you're talking about.
Huh.
Do you?
I haven't thought about that game in forever.
And you don't really kill people, more execute them. It's a dark fucking game, man.
Huh. Interesting.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. Man, I haven't thought about that game in forever. Let's see if it's the, come on. Yes, it is. Let's see. So this is off of Metacritic. The year's darkest and most terrifying video game experience has arrived, courtesy of Rockstar and the makers of the controversial Grand Theft Auto series.
Fucking Rockstar.
Walk in the shoes of James Earl Cash, a man sentenced to death, only to find himself given to an unexpected and sinister reprieve, forced to fight and outwit hordes of bloodthirsty gang members vying for his head on a platter, all orchestrated for the pleasure and profit of the voice unseen.
Huh.
I always wanted to play this game. I remember always wanting to buy it, but never having enough money at the time to get it.
Yeah, I had a friend that had it. I used to sit there just slack-jawed, like, I can't even believe what the fuck you're able to do in this game.
That's awesome.
But people who think that GTA is too far never watch their kids play that shit.
Honestly, I think the only reason half the people I know who complain about Grand Theft Auto is because some of the adult part of it, like the hookers and the nude bars. I think if they got rid of that, I don't think most people would have a problem with it, considering comparing what you can do in video games nowadays.
Yeah.
It's really...
Who else am I supposed to run over but hookers? That's really unfair.
Do they, I don't know, a president, a person walking in the middle
I remember
of the
going over to hang out at Ryan's house, and he's like, oh, I just have, he had his GTA up, and he's just like, oh, I'm just sitting on this thing just shooting the heads off of hookers. I'm like, oh, okay, here, let me
play.
Yeah,
that was Vice City, if I remember right.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I think it was. But yeah, he's just like,
heads
I'm just...
would pop off like fucking Barbie dolls. It was really weird. It was a really weird animation.
Well, that reminds me of Hitman. On Hitman for the original Xbox had a cheat code that turned the bullets into nail guns. So if you threw, if you did it right, you could nail bodies to ceilings. So there's this one level in the house looks like the White House. I found every person. I literally killed everybody in the entire level, dragged them to the house, and nailed them to the ceiling. And the funniest part is when you shot with something, and you could physically see the bodies move with the blast. And I just remember cracking up.
Like
and
that scene from Jeepers Creepers.
Yeah, and it was one of these self-realization moments that's like, man, I would love to see somebody walking, you know, walk in on me as I'm doing this, just because seeing the reaction to this would be hilarious.
Yeah, I've spent
anybody walking in on me in the wrong moment of me playing a video game. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
So what would be, so what would be more questioning you? Your mom walking in on you doing that? Or walking on and you yanking your crank? What would make her question you more?
Well, one, I would have to assume that she's going to bleach her eyeballs after.
Well, yes, but I mean, So what would make her question you more, though? You doing?
I don't think either would surprise her.
He's got a point there.
Oh, I mean, one would imagine yanking her, she'd be like, oh, okay, and turn around and walk away.
So
in the video game, she might stand there for a second, head turned to the side, like, really? The person's dead. How long are you going to keep stabbing them?
So she'll do like the lopsu
until the knife breaks.
So she'll do like the lopsu opsu kind of head crank going, fascinating.
Yeah, kind of just like, okay.
So I just saw a great meme. This Christmas season on the Hallmark Channel, Holiday in Handcuffs, and it's the Aunt Becky from Full House.
Shit.
So apparently apparently Lori Loughlin has done stuff on the Hallmark Channel. That is hilarious. That's hilarious. I'm trying to think of the most screwed up thing I've done in a video game. And I haven't played video games in a couple of months because I just haven't had time.
Done a lot of fucked up shit.
Yeah, that's the problem. The thing with the bodies in Hitman was probably the funnest I've had. Just because that was when cheat codes, even in serious games, they'd have ridiculous cheat codes.
Yeah, you know,
I love the random ass weird cheat codes and just going all OP on everybody.
I think the most fucked up thing I've ever done to an NPC in a video game is the Asian chick in Fallout. that I just put on a continuous cycle of her death with one of the robots for her entire existence in the video game.
No, that's not twisted. That's genius.
But I mean, if that's like, if we're looking for the most fucked up thing, she's a character that can't die and nobody's going to attack my robot. Ever tell you about that, Ryan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think if there was something that would be the most fucked up is the fact that she's going to be dying for an eternity just because of that.
I think the most fucked up thing I ever did was I had sex with this character's father and killed his mother and then went immediately to tell him about it.
What game was that?
That was Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Mm. That's hilarious.
All right.
As soon as I realized it was an option, I'm like, oh, this is twisted.
I wish they had an achievement popped up and just called it sick, you know, sick something or other.
No, I think I did have an achievement pop up for that one.
But that's one reason I missed the
360. He was really pissed, for the record.
That's one thing I miss about the 360, though. The 360 had glorious achievements just because they level a snark in most of them.
Yeah, I always loved the Fable ones.
The one and my favorite one ever, still to this day, is in Red Dead Redemption, the original. Not Red Dead Revolver, mind you. But first Red Dead Redemption, I kidnapped this lady. I'm sorry for the ladies out there that it was a lady, but it was in the Old West. It was a different time, okay? I kidnapped this lady. I tied her up and put her on the train track.
Oh, yep.
And the train came and hit her, and she exploded, and this achievement popped up that said, dastardly.
Yeah, I always loved that one.
I fucking hit the ground laughing on that one.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I always loved
it. So great.
I love the hidden achievements.
Sick dastardly reference.
Yeah, I remember one for Fable, I got the chicken kicker.
Yeah. So
chicken kicker, yeah.
So ladies and gentlemen, we are coming up to a close on this week's episode. If you've learned anything in this show, you've learned that I'm incredibly jealous of Ryan to get to go to a place that I've always wanted to see in person. You bastard. Next week is possibly something special. Really depends what happens. So watch this space or listen to this feed or whatever the hell. You'll find out when it happens, if it happens. For Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.